Well, hello everybody, and it's me and my buddy here, Amy, and we're here, and she's got another great show about legacy. Hi, Amy, how are you?
Good morning, everyone. I'm doing good. Doing good.
Yeah. So tell us what you're talking about today.
A little spin off of what we've been talking about. I think of what you and I like sharing with you is like a legacy of abundance, but I feel like I've been not so much just talking, but a lot of questions, and the questions that I'm asking are questions that I feel like I'm dealing with in my own personal life. When we think of leaving a legacy, as we've discussed in previous shows, it's not just a legacy of assets. It's also a legacy of mind, body, and soul. And today, like to challenge, as I feel like I'm challenging myself or the universe, really, is challenging me of seeing things in a different light. And you, Tree, have taught me a lot about being aware or noticing or things that come to pass. It's awareness in our life. Does it take us off track? Does it, do we spin out of control? Do we keep pressing forward? And those are really hard questions to answer sometimes when we are dealing with unhappy things in our life that we have to work on or changes, let alone the things that come easy and it seems like it's just flowing, that it's naturally and it's happening. It's just like no effort, like effortless. And it'd be great if every day was like that, but in the real world, every day is not like that. There is, hopefully you're evolving and growing and changing and constantly moving to be the better you, or as you would say, the highest form of you. So
yeah, being the best version of yourself.
Today
that's
is
true.
Like
yeah.
Right. I know we've talked a lot about, so I wanted to take it like a little bit more onto the other side of the dark depths of our soul of, when we get to that area, depressed, anxiety, low, if we're really willing to challenge ourselves to feel everything that's in that and really fight through it, which I've struggled, and I've shared some of that with you guys in some of the shows previous, and will continue to share as I'm still learning from some of my dark days. But what I feel like here this past week of what my angels are showing me of that in my darkest days, that I wasn't the nicest person. I'm not the nicest person to just me, but in some of my darkest days, I feel like I'm coming out seeing that when I was at my lowest, what was pulling me out was reminding me that I had dreams and goals. And I wouldn't say that I could remember every single one of them. That's why not every day was easy, but there were days where I just like had what I'd been fighting for all these years or since my teenage years or as a child, just glimpses of that. So that's the question that leads into other questions of thinking of leaving a legacy, or better yet, the example of leaving a legacy to our friends and our family, our children, that dreams come true. But
okay.
I ever wonder if, do we really stop and wonder, do our dreams really come true? And what work do we have to do to make them come true? And then are we so down and out having our pity party or going through this depression, and as society says, oh, you're having a pity party, is it really a pity party, or is it really getting so down deep in your soul to get rid of things, to truly let go so you can manifest your dream? Or you get so busy of just trying to stay at this monotone, just, okay, I'm balanced. I don't want to go too low, but I can't go too high, that we don't notice that our dreams are coming true.
Okay. That's cool. I got a
start
question.
Of the morning.
Really quick. Yeah, I hear you. That's a great start. So I'm telling you, I posted this show up, and, that you're going to be talking about this, and I sent it out to people. And so I get a deal back from somebody. I knew she is, and she identified herself, and she's listening in, just so you know. And so I'm going to address it right now. She says, really, having your dreams come true, how come I have not gotten XYZ or XYZ? And she goes, and you told me, and I, you know, these are two gentlemen, right? And I told her, I said, because you do the same thing your whole darn life, because I've known you for years. I mean, literally 13 years or so. And I go, you do the same thing your whole life, okay, the same way you go after a guy, right? And I said, you can't do that. Or you can, but it's not working for you, so you need to change something up, right? So what's your thoughts?
Right.
Because she's been in the depths of depression, I mean, where she can't get out of bed, where she's in her chair crying, you know, and you know, I can say get that sexy round thing or get that big fat keister or whatever you want to call it, right, up and start moving. And I can be very harsh, not harsh, but very honest, because if you lay there, you know, and you got to go through it. So what's your thoughts on that, Amy? And not even realizing your dreams are going to come true, but I told you, I said this is coming up, and I want to address it with her, or you address it with her, because maybe she needs to hear from somebody else. Or maybe there's something different there. So,
just you even talking about the story. First and foremost, it's I was there in January. I was there in February. I was there in March. I was there just this last month, April, of the days of not able to really get myself motivated, to get my mind where I wasn't beating myself up of everything that I've been doing. It's not happening, and you know, none of this is happening. Why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep busting my butt? You know, I've been waking up crack of dawn. I get 3 hours of sleep, 4 hours of sleep, maybe five. I'm lucky if it's six, and six has been the best day. That feels like a dream come true. And I sit there and, you know, feed into the pessimistic side of none of this is working. And you're right to have to lay there and go, but you've still been doing it. And you're doing it, and you're getting closer. You just don't see it. And you fight yourself. I always say, my good angel, my bad angel. You know, what's the point? You've been doing it for months now, and nothing's changing. And then my other angel, my good angel, is like, no, it is changing. You just don't see it yet. And it's just, well, you're right. I don't see it, so what's the point? If I can't see it, you know, I need something. I need a visual. I need, you know, and you're praying to God. You're praying to your angels. But I can just say on my personal experience of fighting that battle in my mind, in my head, and yet, like one of the shows, it was, you know what, today I took a shower. And I had to, like, start all over again. I had to just go, I had to get out of bed. Not just because my kids needed me to. Not because, oh, my God, my neighbor's coming over to drop off a pot that she borrowed and I don't want her to see. The hardest part of depression that I think is you can push so many people away. And, yes, some people come up and, you know, you just need to do this and you just need to do this. It's really not a matter of, in my opinion, for me, it's not a matter of I just need to get so busy. It's a matter of fighting my mind. And
okay.
I'm thankful through a lot of coaching, Tree, reading books, meditating, that I have to just stop and go, and you've done so much work. You can still do this. It's coming. And it's like a coin toss of this mind. And your mind wants you to believe that it's not worth getting out of bed. It's not worth getting up and doing it anymore because you can't see anything. But if you can just flip the coin and go, no, I'm going to do it one more day. And you start with that one more day. And you go back to, you know what, right now I'm just going to go hour to hour. I'm going to take a shower. And if I'm in the shower and pray to God I don't fall down and drown, that's going to be my biggest accomplishment today. And you take the pressure off of you having to do XYZ, and XYZ is not happening. Today, I took a shower. Today, I got out of the shower. And then it's, oh, hey, look. Then it's like the thought of, I got to switch out the laundry. Oh, wait, the kids are going to be home tonight. And I think that's part of sometimes we get so busy, we're even like mentioning that just even now, of do we get so busy that we don't even notice? I think our dreams are coming true, but sometimes we get so busy focusing on what we don't see versus what we feel. And sometimes if we stop and notice of what we feel, it's happening. You know, just I took a shower and you just feel this cleanse of just the water. And sometimes I have to visualize, like, I am washing away all this negativity. I am washing away all this pessimistic thoughts and ideas that I am beating myself up and telling myself that for the past several months or past several years, and I don't have a guy, I'm still single, I still live in a rental, I haven't bought my dream home, I haven't started building my dream home, all of that. And I think it just starts with one simple task. And it's hard when you're dealing with depression. It is so hard to sit here and say, I'm going to do this, and yet it be what everyone takes for granted. Like, oh, just get out of bed, feed my dog, take a shower, no big deal. What's the big deal about that? What's the problem? It's a huge problem when you're battling your mind, when you're battling and you're saying everything that I'm doing is for naught.
I get you. I agree with you on that. So may I ask you this, if that's okay? I'm going to go if that it is okay. So you're saying take it one task at a time, right? So last week or so, I had somebody on. She's going through a spiritual awakening, and she said, sometimes you got to take it one moment, just being grateful for one moment, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day, whatever works for you, right? So thank God I got out of the shower and didn't fall and bump my head, right? I get it. That'd be
right.
Like me, whether I'm depressed or not. You know.
Right.
Anyway.
I can't take a shower because you're so weak. Yeah, you know, you're just like, I can't take a shower. I barely have energy. I'm just so weak. I'm going to fall. I'm going to drown. I'm going to hit my head. I mean, depression is hard because it really does get your mind of all the things that you can't do.
So you're saying task at a time. Noelle, she was amazing. She said, take it 1 minute, 1 second, one whatever at a time. And I also feel like you're saying, okay, right now it's going to get better. You're going to get your goals. You're going to get your dreams. But maybe instead of saying, why hasn't happened yet? Okay, I'm putting 60,000 units of work in and not getting but a half a unit or nothing pay. One day that will turn around. And you put a half a unit of work in, and you're getting 60,000 units of pay or more. Pay means, I'm not necessarily talking about money, but I'm talking about dreams, right? Those secret goals,
correct,
desires, right?
Correct. Okay. And then I think there's also, like, you just keep chucking along and doing it, that I think something else that I feel like what I'm being challenged right now is I've been so busy. And Tari, you've called me out on it where it's like, I'm so, like, as long as I'm producing or being productive, which is staying busy, then I'm fine. But when I get to, you know, the laundry's done, dinner is cooked, I've taken a shower, the house is clean, this is, you know, everything checked on the box, and I'm like, now what do I do? Those are my challenges. It sounds so weird. It's like, I need to stay so busy. But what I feel like now what I'm having to learn and reflect back on is, when I am that busy, am I so busy that I'm not noticing or really living in my life, like experiencing it?
Right.
And I'm not saying I'm so busy that I'm like, I haven't experienced life. I feel like there have been moments in my life going, wow, I feel really blissful, not happy bliss. But then now, just even like, say, this year, I've had more moments of just feeling down and out, looking for a bridge to jump off of, and it's even as crazy as that is, I'm sitting there going, I find a bridge and it's nothing, it's water, it's flooded. I'm like, great, I'm going to float. And now I don't even have a cooler with wine coolers in it. You know, it's just like one, you know, it's like, geez, I finally get in there, I'm just going to jump. And I'm not saying that's the answer. It's just like, and then that's depressing. It's like, oh my God, I can't even do that. I mean, it's hard. It's really hard that I feel like right now, and I'm going through a moment right now where, when we were talking about the dark depths of our soul, and like Tari, you asked, you know, did that touch a wound? And we've touched on it, and we can, you know, come back and talk on that topic of when a wound gets touched, is that for us to just have awareness that, okay, we've healed, and but we're still healing? Is that a wound that we tricked ourselves that we thought we healed, and it's not really healed, so now something else is presenting and touching it, so now it's like, oh, great. And I thought I healed that. That was 8 years ago. And now I don't know why it's bothering so much. It's pissing me off. It's making me angry, have anxiety. So did we really heal it? What is that? did we really heal that, or is it something that it's something that we still need to work and love ourselves through it? Because it was that deep of a pain. That's why it was so down in our soul. And I think sometimes depression, or when we get sick, sometimes that's the only way our body can release the toxins in our body, to finally let go of what is not good within our body. You know, when you get a cold or the flu and you don't want to eat, it's almost like you're starving your body so you can start fresh. You know, you just drink soups and waters and rest your body and your mind. As long as you're sleeping, you're healing, right? That's everyone's cure-all. You know, just get some rest. Just get some rest. And just because we don't have the flu or the cold, I think if on a societal level, instead of treating depression or anxiety as this, oh my God, what's your problem, of it's like another form, it's just a different type of a flu that you need rest, but you need positive and, you know, reinforcements, and find a catchphrase or a word that, for me, it was, I can do this. I got to do this. I mean, you've been fighting this fight for a long time. It's going to come to pass. You got to believe. And it was just digging into my faith, but it wasn't easy. It still isn't easy. And now I have friends and a person in my life that I was closing a door to read, we were laughing about, right? I was closing the door of eHarmony. I'm getting off. Nope. But it's like
Hold up a second. Well, no. All you guys can laugh. No, I'm not going to let you go with that, okay? Because he's telling it very angelic, okay? Very, very sweet and angelic. Very good. That's a 5-star performance there, Angie. No. So she gets on the phone with me, right? And she's met some characters. And those who have dated online, offline, whatever, there's characters everywhere. But when you open the gates to let the masses in, and that's what online dating does, it lets more than one person typically in. And you meet a lot of different people. So Amy has had some first time dating online, by the way, I think first time, maybe second, I don't know. But she hasn't had a lot of experience on it. I said, go on online dating, no. Try it. And so she goes, I hate this. It doesn't work. I'm shutting everything down. I was like, okay, in the year of our Lord, 2019, we should have had that on. So anyway, she didn't make as fun as I did. So, anyway,
right. I was mad and angry.
Not even 24 hours later, not even, maybe 12, maybe 8. Amy calls me, hey, you know, I was shutting this site down. I forgot I had it. She went to got 3 or 4 of them, right? So that's the thing. If you're going to date online, make sure you open 2 or 3, I don't know, 4 of them, and see what's up. And so she got on the site and met this guy, this man, and they have been establishing a friendship and what they're doing. And she says, 3, maybe you're right. Really? Okay, maybe I am. Because you
maybe
guy.
Just maybe
yeah okay anyway so I get she's getting to know him from the inside out, and he's getting to know her from the inside out, and they're having a beautiful friendship via phone right now, phone and text. And he's traveling, I guess is the way to say that, and so she'll meet him face to face and in person toward the next 2 weeks or so, right? So we'll keep hey, by the way, guys that are listening now or later, we're going to find out what that deal is about, right? And ask her, you think, yeah, exactly, being vulnerable and open, you said that before, you get to do that now,
yes.
With us on blog talk, right?
But,
yeah, you said
right,
funny.
But that was it, was like, I was so angry and so mad that I was sitting here going, you know what, I'm done, I'm closing these doors, and blah, blah, blah. But it's also that same thing, it's like the minute when you really, truly decide to go, I am done with this. I am done. I am no longer doing this. This is not in my best and highest good. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to take control and go over here. And that's what I feel like. That is such the irony, where it's like, you know, our angels are pretty good jokesters going, oh, okay, you're going to close the door and you're going to go do all this. And the minute, like, you do that, there's something else that was completely out of your control. That's like, oh, maybe I'm not completely in control. That's,
or maybe you let go and
like,
let God, and it, you let go.
Exactly.
Let God. That's the
you know,
key way.
And it's just sort of kind of like it does. It, you know, it's God's plan. It's God's timing. It's, you know, it's God's design. And I think, like, when you are in the depths of that, it's if you could just hold on to go. And when you first started this journey, like for me 8 years ago, coming out of a nasty divorce and going, I will find love again. I don't know when. And it's been a journey that, and here I was about, you know, just, that's it. I'm done. I'm angry. I was pissed because I'm like, I've spent this time and energy. And it's like the minute that you do surrender that, yes, God opens doors. But I feel like there also have been times where God has opened doors and I've been so busy of, I got to take the trash out. I got to do this. And I've been like so busy trying to just stay busy. So I don't stop and sit here and go, is my dream coming true? And now,
you're right.
I've met this wonderful man, and because I've had my checklist, and I'm like, wow, this has done that. He has brought or is teaching me because of the time and the distance right now, because, yes, he travels, that I've been able to just stop and pause and go, wow, this is sort of kind of like some of my prayers of what I've asked for. What I've worked with my coach of learning to get to know somebody from inside out.
Yes, me.
When we talk with our friends, of, you know, when we say, oh, it's not about material things or what a person looks like, and we say that with our girlfriends going to lunch or breakfast or whatever, and we hear it all around us, and it's like, but do we truly experience going, I want to get to know someone's heart, someone's soul? And because of the dynamics of how this has transpired, I feel like my angels are giving me this opportunity, and I can only say right now that I am thoroughly enjoying it, but it's also teaching me to pause and go, okay, I'm not too busy. I'm noticing this, and this is part of my desires and my dreams come true. I don't know what the future holds, and for the first time in my life, yeah, I'm not sitting there going, oh, my God, I met this guy, and I think we're going to get married in July, and we're going to have 2.2 kids, and da-da-da-da-da-da. It's like, you know, how many times that we meet a person, and you've, like, already planned the wedding, or you get the job, and you're, like, already going to be CEO in 8 months. You know, it's just how much we just fast forward, and we get so busy that we don't take time to notice this moment, which is also part of our dream.
Yeah.
And what if this is part of the dream and yet it's not the dream and it doesn't come to fruition, but you get a glimpse or a taste of it that you are able to manifest your dreams.
That's true. That's a good point.
But do you stop to enjoy them?
That's right. That's a great point. I want to share this with you because you're talking about living in the now, enjoying the moment, right? So someone gave me this quote. She goes, when you're present, God is present. God doesn't live in the past. God doesn't live in the future. And God's a part of every one of us. I do know that. So that's a good point, though. Thank you for sharing that. So I have another question from the same young lady. And see, aren't you glad that we're not taking questions yet? She says, I hear you talking about the dark night of the soul. She goes, "Not dark night of the soul. I've been having a whole lifetime of dark." Amy, I'll talk to her, but I go, that's very funny, right? It's not funny, but she's feeling a little sorry for herself. And, you know, and so I told her this morning when I talked to her to put it all together, right? Living day by day, living
right.
moment by moment and everything, and find
right.
something that you have passion about besides getting a guy or getting a girl, whatever it is, right? So that's what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
Find passion somewhere else.
Well, right, and that's almost to me, if you remember, yes, and you were sitting there going, oh, my God, whatever. And it was like, I feel like even at the beginning of the year that it was in January that I signed up, you know, on the online dating sites. And I was just like, you know what, I don't need to be worrying about this. And I would say I've done that several times over this 8 years that I've been divorced or have gone through a divorce and finalized my divorce, that I've dated and I've enjoyed it, that I'm like, oh, I'm done. I'm not dating anymore. I'm just going to enjoy my friends. I'm just going to start, you know, doing this and that. I'm going to work on my work or business. And, you know, so here I feel like I think sometimes that we get down and out when it's not so much repeating, like what you were saying with the one friend that came out, like, I'm keep doing the same thing, but are you really doing the same thing or are you doing it a little bit different? And yet you're still putting yourself out there. So it's like, yes, I was dating, you know, then I stopped dating, and then, okay, I put myself back out there and tried the online dating, and then yet I was closing the door, but I'm still pushing through it. I didn't like all of a sudden just lock myself up in a cave and just no communication, no social media. But in my head, I was closing this door and go, you know what? I just need to work on my businesses right now. I need to work on this. I got this going on. My kids are wrapping up school. That's where my focus needs to be. And that's part of what I had to do to help get out of the bed and take a shower. Like, I didn't have to worry about trying to get that guy. And I had to remember that part of my prayer was, you know what, I've been divorced and twice and married. You know, one was, yes, you got to count it, but you don't. Was my starter package. And then I thought, and then my second marriage, I thought that was going to be. But the love
we
of my life.
We all have a starter package in marriage. That's funny, Amy. I'm sorry. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's my starter package. So funny.
My starter package, but I had to come to terms with it. But, you know, I just feel like I'm not giving up. But I feel like because I had been married and divorced twice, that there was a prayer that I'd said years back, and I think I've said it intermittently throughout, like I said, my 8 years after my divorce, that I'm like, you know what, God, I chose the last two. I picked the last two. I decided what I did, how I did it, when I did it, you know, if I dated this guy or if I should get to know this guy, take it slow, not take it slow. And there have been times that I prayed of going, you know what, the right man's going to come along when God knows that I'm ready, when I have something to offer, when my life is together. And those were some moments that I remember going, well, you can't have a guy come in your life when you got to fix this. It's sort of kind of like you can't get your car running when you got to go get new tires, you got to get an oil change, you know, you know, got to work on the blinker, it's out. And so I think sometimes if we put that same analogy in our life and go, I want this perfect man, but if we stop and do an assessment of, you know what, there's a couple things I need to fix. I need to fix my car before I can go and get a new car. I need to fix my car before I can have another car. And,
right,
you know, it's
That's good. The
same thing in relationships. It's like you want this guy to come to you, you know, all, you know, spiritually perfect, financially perfect, emotionally perfect, but then you're like, you check your box and go, are you? And that's hard. That's hard to look at the box and go, what do you bring to the table? Well, my blinker's out, my brakes are about to go out, and I need a new tire.
Yeah, that's very true. Can I share? That's a great analogy because I love that one, right? So you got to measure it, see if you measure up. One of my clients got married pretty recently, and she married the man of her dreams, and she said, I had these qualities, and I did. I married him. And then I have another one. And by the way, I told her, we don't need to work together right now. And but she wanted, she's extremely overweight. The doctor has cautioned her about her weight. And she wants a guy that is very felt. Is that even a word that most people know? Very in shape, very lean, all these things.
Athletic.
And yet she's not. Yeah, she wants an athletic guy, she's really, really heavy. I'm going to call her borderline obese, right? So how do you get the quarterback when you look like the water girl, the water boy, right?
Right.
You know, most
exactly.
people care what you look like. You know, so
Doreen, I came across my list. Remember you had helped me and it was in my Bible devotional and I always felt like I would just add, like this is what's in my heart and I always, you know, I think you've heard me say, you know, my prayer is like, you know, we make a special order and we can go back and go, you know what, take off the jalapeno. So I always say I want my hamburger with cheese. No tomato. And then it's like I would date. And then I would find this guy, and I'm like, okay, he's this. But, you know, it's almost like, okay, I got to pick out the tomatoes because, yeah, it's okay. So I accepted my burger with tomatoes when I went to the drive-thru. And that's like doing the analogy with a guy. And then we go on and da-da-da-da.
Right.
And then you're sitting here going, yeah, no, it's not. So it's basically, in essence, you have to pick out the tomatoes. But picking.
Yeah.
So in moments throughout time, I've had to go back and go, okay, God, let me like reorder. I want my hamburger, no tomatoes, no tomato products. So like, I don't even want ketchup. And, you know, and then you go back and it's like in my head, I'm such a visual person that it's more of like every time that I was accepting a guy that was not my hamburgers and no tomatoes, my cheeseburger, then God's up there with my angel. This is like what I visualize. God's up there, my angel. He has my perfect man, the man that I was writing
We're
down on my dream
out of
guy.
Time.
Like, oh, here's my list. Yeah. I'll say it real quick. So here's my list. Here's my dream guy. And God's over here going like, okay, we got him. But then every time I go through the drive-thru and I knew that it wasn't my burger, but I still drove off with him, they're looking down going, oh, guess she's not ready for him. So then my poor angel had to fly back out with my dream guy because I'm over here messing around with the burger that I know is not right. It's not my order.
Yeah, you're trying to make it. Yeah, you're trying to make it work. So anyway, guys,
right.
Amy will be on next Thursday. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to you, and I will talk to you a little later on this afternoon.
Happy Mother's Day.
And you
yes.
guys have.
We'll pick up hamburger
yeah,
no happy, tomatoes next week.
Yeah, that's the legacy there. Anyway, so next Thursday, 11 a.m. East Coast time and 10 a.m. Central, and, of course, 8 a.m. California time. Thank you so much for listening now, and happy Mother's Day. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Happy Mother's Day. Bye.